Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
How many times have you opened your favorite cookbook, flailed around trying a new technique, and just wished the original chef could be there to walk you through it? Well, now you can have that. Sort of. Ming Tsai is owner of Blue Ginger in Wellesley and the upcoming Blue Dragon in Boston's Seaport District. His new cookbook, Simply Ming in Your Kitchen, incorporates technology in a way where, in your time of need, say when you're not quite sure how to roll that nori around your sushi rice and tuna, the celebrity chef pops up in your kitchen. Tsai recently joined us to talk about how smartphones, iPads, and the like are changing what's possible for home chefs.
They always say a picture's worth 1,000 words. Mm-hmm. Well, a video's worth 1,000,000 words. Because I don't care if you even went to Harvard. You can't write in words how you roll sushi, articulate it perfectly. It's impossible. But a video, it's easy. Oh, I could do that. I could have a cooking show, practically. So the idea was offer the video. And to be honest, we originally said, let's give it for free. But then we realized, well, then we can't charge next time because you can't do frequent flyer miles and then take them away. They discovered that.
Well, let's be clear about what exactly we're talking about regarding how you access these videos, because I've got the book here in front of me and it looks gorgeous. Every single page just makes me more and more hungry, to be honest. But there's one of those little QR codes.
Yep, a quick read code.
Those boxes on every single page.
Correct. So every recipe has one.
And as I'm trying to make, say, I've got the book open to your red curry braised pork on rice, which you've also brought in a sample of.
A book could only do so much. Actually, eating it helps. The idea of the QR code, if you have a smartphone, so there's an iPhone or an Android, one of these new smartphones, you can scan it. You then go through Ming.com, and that's where you can access the video.
All right, and we got this last piece. Here's a cool little thing. I have this small saucepan. This was the marinade, right? But there was raw swordfish in there. So you got to cook it, because I want to use it. It's orange juice, it's soy sauce, it's lemon juice, it's excellent. But if I heat it and cook away, it'll kill anything that may be, and bad in raw swordfish. And this is going to be my hot vinaigrette. So as soon as this comes to a boil, I'm going to whisk in a little bit more olive oil. That's going to wilt my fennel salad. Easy.
We're really trying to bring technology into it because, as you know, it's complete convergence of video streaming, TV, web, print, everyone, New York Times on down. Everyone's trying to figure out how we can combine this smartly. And we're hoping we're creating a second revenue stream for everyone that writes cookbooks.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about because there have been many times where I am working with a brand new recipe in a book that I love, and you absolutely hit a step where it seems to make sense on the page, but when you actually get your hands on the food, you're not quite sure how to pull it off. So I can see the utility and the power of having this QR code that helps pop up a video on my smartphone. But on that note, I'm a dirty cook. I can make a mess all over the place. And this is a serious question I'm about to ask you about the utility or the limits of technology in the kitchen. Because say my hands have, the red curry all over them.
It's a great question. This is what I recommend, and regardless of this video or not, you should read a recipe the whole recipe before you start cooking. Did it with the video. Sit down for the 8-10 minutes, watch the video. Then you'll see all the steps, and you'll understand when I say make sure the pan's hot so the oil's dancing before you add the scallops, and because you'll really be able to see that. So then when you actually do it yourself, you wait till the pan gets hot so your oil's dancing. So look at the video first, but look, you have laptops and computers and your iPad. You can put it far enough away from your water source that you can run it because, again, a lot of these recipes, you can cook real time with me. And ideally, don't touch the computer with your dirty hands. Clean it. Wash your hands.
I have a daughter at home who does enough damage to the screens of my iPad.
iPads bounce.
That's true. It's amazing how much grease you can actually get off the glass, too. That sounds terrific. So you have brought in a sample of the red curry braised pork on rice. So I'm going to try a little bit of it. Can you tell us a little bit more about this recipe?
So this is a great technique to learn. When you braise any meat, short rib, lamb shank, pork shank, osso buco, or little pieces of pork like that, The technique is simple. You first sear your meat. You set it aside. Then you add your aromatics. In this case, it's onions and garlic and carrots. Then you usually add a liquid, in this case just water. You add the pork back in. You make sure the broth tastes delicious, because how that broth tastes is how your the end meal is going to taste. Then either in a regular pot for an hour and a half, and I also mentioned, by the way, if you're tight on time, use a pressure cooker, which halves the time. So you can do it in 45 minutes, which is a reasonable time frame to cook a dinner. Every recipe is 30 minutes of cooking. It might take an hour and a half for it to cook, but you don't have to be in the kitchen more than 30 minutes. You'll see quite often in the book, stuff is served in the cast iron pan or in the wok. That's family-style eating. It's the best way to eat, because then people can grab what they want and it'll stay warmer at the table, because the whole idea as well, which we need more in this country, is people, families eating together.
And I just tried several bites of it, and it's delicious. And
the
aroma is spot on. It's perfect. It's not overpowering, but it's just enough that you get the sense of the spice in there.
Yep.
It's like...
No, there's two jalapenos in there.
It's so good.
It's in there.
So good. On a side note, I was telling our producer, Dina, earlier that one of my favorite recent New Yorker cartoons is this very simple line drawing of a couple in the kitchen, and one of them's holding an iPad, and the caption is, "I'm sorry, honey, I can't cook tonight. The internet is down." But I just wanted
That
got me thinking. I wanted to ask you, I mean, do you think that the accessibility of all kinds of, you know, millions literally of recipes out there has been good or bad for creativity in the kitchen?
You know, it's both. Because, for example, if you Google spicy chicken, you're going to get 15,000 spicy chicken recipes. But unfortunately, 1% are good. And that's the hard part. And there's no filter when you Google and try to find a spicy chicken recipe, which is why there's still a market for cookbooks. So, you know, you follow a chef or a style of food, all of us test our recipes. That's why we're chefs. That's why if we're going to print something, it's tested. And the addition of video and the convenience of QR code just makes it that much easier to hopefully get people to learn techniques and to cook.
There's so much I can talk to you about. Let's range far and wide here for a moment, because it's great to have you in the studio, because I've wanted to talk with you sometime about Asian cooking in general,
right. And
about sort of where it is in the spectrum of American cuisine today.
It's a great question. Chinese cuisine, Japanese, Thai, it's practically American food now, right? I mean, pizza's American food now. They don't say, oh, it's ethnic Italian. No, it's American food. The good thing that's going on in this country is we're getting authentic chefs. So not just a Chinese chef, we're getting a Sichuan chef, you know, a chef from Guangzhou, a chef from Hunan, and they're doing the real food that is done in China and bringing it here. So the Thai food is the real Thai food. We're no longer dumbing down. I mean, the creation of chop suey 30 years ago, right, that person really should not be allowed on this planet, right? The chop suey does not, nor does egg foo young. But that was done because the food was dumbed down, thinking this is what the Americans want. But guess what? Thank God, us Americans want more now. We've traveled. We see the cooking shows. We see what real lemongrass or real Tiber chilies look like and taste like. And now they're demanding to have that authentic flavor.
Ming Tsai, I'm curious. You were heavily involved in the design, the technological aspect, even the food styling of the new book. You've got new restaurant coming in, Blue Dragon, as well. So clearly on the business side of what you do, you're constantly pushing yourself. But I wonder, how do you push yourself in the kitchen? I mean, you've been at this for more than 25 years. What are you doing to maintain or expand your creativity now in the kitchen?
You know, there's the great news for us chefs is there's lots of chefs. So when we get together at a conference or at an Aspen Food and Wine or a South Beach, we get to see other foods people are doing. But then when you go and hang out with Thomas Keller and see him do a dish, you're like, oh, that's amazing. And I have his book that he talks about sous vide cuisine. Mm-hmm. So, for example, that's a new technique we're using, which has been around, invented at Cornell, stolen by the French and perfected in France, and then brought back by Keller, basically,
no
to
kidding.
The States. Absolutely. It's an interesting story. So we're always looking at new things, but the most important for us is to eat other people's food. Black garlic has been around probably 50 years. I discovered it only 2 years ago, which is fermented cloves of garlic turned black. It tastes like fermented black bean meets garlic. It's an amazing flavor. So almost once a month, I'll discover a new flavor, a new herb, new spice, a new way. Everything's miniaturized now. You can get cilantro the size of your pinky, you know, micro cilantro, micro everything. But they're more important. They're packed with flavor. And just my sous chefs and my chef de cuisine and, you know, JT and Woody, these guys are amazing cooks. And just through collaboration and talking and trying, traditional ethnic food is the best inspiration for us. The best food in the world is someone's home. Although my wife and I can count on one hand how many times I've been invited into people's homes over the last 14 years. But
I think people might be a little intimidated having
know.
You in their
kitchens. Maybe they don't. I think they think I eat too much or something. But point being is if your mom was in town, I would love to come meet your mom's food.
Consider yourself invited next time.
Thank you. Consider the acceptance right here.
Well, the new book is Simply Ming in Your Kitchen, 80 Recipes to Watch, Learn, Cook, and Enjoy. Ming Tsai, thank you so much for coming into Radio Boston.
Magna, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
A quick update now on the Mattapan murder trial. We talked earlier about whether murder suspect Dwayne Moore would stand in his own defense. Well, Moore's lawyers have rested their case without calling him to testify. We'll have more on this coming up on All Things Considered. And that's all for today. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.